into the Lombardi line. Brady Cannon and Tim Murray with you, filling in for Patrick Maher and Michael Lombardi here on a Tuesday at VSiN and VSiN.com, the Sports Betting Network, live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Good morning to you, Mr. Murray. Good to be with you. Let's start with a few headlines, and we'll dive in first to Mr. Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans quarterback. Not happy with the organization, and there's some buzz out there that he may be headed to New York.
Yeah, and you look at Brady, the potential of packages that both the Jets and Dolphins could offer for the services of Deshaun Watson. I said it yesterday with Matt on My Guys, and he disagreed. Look, if you're the New York Jets, I put together a package right now and I go get Deshaun Watson. I understand it is it's going to be a more expensive bill to foot than getting Justin Fields or Zach Wilson with the second overall pick. But Deshaun Watson, if you look at all the metrics, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He was playing at an MVP level this year, Brady. And just give him, if you're walking into that situation, and I know, and if you're Robert Saleh, I go and try to make an aggressive push. And maybe, Brady, with the second pick, and I believe the 23rd pick is what the Jets currently possess, maybe you don't have to give up both first-round picks to get him. Obviously, it's going to be a package, right? But maybe you can keep one of those first-round picks this year, likely the 23rd. And to me, this isn't, you know, number two is not Trevor Lawrence. If I had the number one pick, I stick strong with Trevor Lawrence. Other than that, I don't know what Justin Fields is going to bring. I don't know what Zach Wilson is going to bring. Penei Sewell might be great there, the tackle out of Oregon, but you're getting an elite quarterback in his mid-20s. I go and make this move if I'm the New York Jets.
The odds currently, the Texans are the favorite to retain Watson at even money. The Jets, the second choice at 4-1. The Dolphins also at 4-1. What stuck out to me, Tim, you go on down the board here as potential landing spots for Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. How about the San Francisco 49ers, currently at 20-1? And you talk about the Jets having the number two pick. Of course, the Dolphins have the third round pick. But other than those picks, I don't know if there's a lot that they can really put together as far as a package. The San Francisco 49ers have the 12th overall pick, but you throw in Jimmy G, and who knows what else they're going to throw in. They have a lot of talent on that team. I think if you're betting this, maybe yeah, they're worth a shot at a big number.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, there's plenty of teams. To me, you know, if you're Washington, we showed those boards at 10-1. It's a no-brainer. Try to go get Deshaun Watson. You've built yourself a very good defense, bordering elite now with young talent. You're missing a quarterback, and we saw that. Look, Taylor Heinicke was fun for one playoff game, but are you really believing that's the future of your franchise? Of course not. But then, when it comes to betting this, as Brady just pointed out, who can give up something that's going to interest you? Remember, the Houston Texans don't have a first or a second-round pick. They are in tear down, rebuild mode. We don't know who their head coach is going to be. They bring in Caserio from New England. What I'll say about the Jets, and I know at 4-1, it's not the juiciest odds. So, you know, taking a flyer on someone like San Francisco is more intriguing with the payout and reward being 20-1. I'm still a believer of Sam Darnold, and he's still in that rookie contract. Yeah. So if you throw in Sam Darnold and the number two pick for Deshaun Watson, and maybe a color up, maybe a pick or two more. I mean, if you're the Houston Texans, those are some really nice building blocks. As long as whoever they ultimately hire as a head coach believes that Sam Darnold is a guy you can build around. To me, Sam Darnold and the number two overall pick is a pretty good starting point for the New York Jets.
You mentioned the new general manager coming in from New England. I wonder if there's any correlation there between Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's
and,
true.
Of course, former New England Patriot there, too. We know the Texans have had an affinity for picking up New England Patriots. College football coaching news. Jeremy Pruitt, the head football coach at the Tennessee University of Tennessee in Knoxville, reportedly going to be out at 5 p.m. Eastern time today. I guess he received a letter saying as much from the school for recruiting violations, Tim, and apparently some assistant coaches as well will be shown the door. Maybe a possible NCAA investigation forthcoming.
Yeah, and the reports are, I think I saw something about recruits getting bags from McDonald's filled with cash. So, I mean, I never got that on my recruiting visit. Granted, I wasn't going to Rocky Top to try to play football. So, you know, with that report coming out, and, you know, part of me, Brady, feels like when I initially heard he's been fired with cause, I felt like, okay, well, this is a coach that has been unsuccessful, and they're just trying to find some ways to get him out and not have to pay a buyout. Now, if these allegations are true, obviously Jeremy Pruitt's legal team came out with some strong words saying this is not true. Regardless, he's going to be out. It makes me think. I went on the Edge with JVT yesterday saying Hugh Freeze is the guy they should go after. Uh-huh. I understand he's got skeletons in the closet, but you know what he's done? He's beaten Nick Saban not once but twice.
Right.
And if you are Tennessee and you really want to become back to what you were in the late 90s with Philip Fulmer, then you got to go get a guy who's had success, but he's got some checkered past. I don't know if these allegations are as true as they as they're being reported. I don't know if you can go get Hugh Freeze right now. So does that mean they go get Billy Napier, who has SEC ties, is from Tennessee, has done a terrific job down in Louisiana? Do they get Jamie Chadwell, you know, a flavor of the month from Coastal Carolina? To me, I still think Hugh Freeze would make the most sense when it comes to a winning side, but a sellability factor, if you got to think about who you're trying to please, right? I think Billy Napier is probably the safest option for Tennessee at this point.
Well, I hope they get it right. It's been four coaches at Tennessee since Philip Fulmer left in 2008, and I think the SEC East Division is much better, much more entertaining when it's something other than just Florida and Georgia.
Yeah, and when you have, you know, Rocky Top, once we are allowed to have fans back in the stand, I mean, once that stadium
Great
is
stadium.
Rocking, you know, those 3:30 games, I know they won't be on CBS in the near future, but, I mean, that's what we had forever. Those Florida-Tennessee games, the Spurrier against Peyton games, those were, you know, some great memories we had. So, yeah, I tend to agree. I would like to see. Now, I think the fan base is a bit delusional, expecting maybe too much. But they got to make this hire is, we said this about the Butch Jones hiring. We said this about the Jeremy Pruitt hiring, which was a disaster in its own right with the Schiano fiasco, yeah. Mike Leach, all of that. They got to get this right. And I think the safe route would be a guy like Billy Napier. The question is, Brady, Billy Napier has turned down a lot of jobs. He seems to like what he's got going down there at Louisiana. But at some point, Billy Napier, you would imagine, is going to make that jump. And Tennessee, I would think, might be too good to turn down.
A couple of comebacks and a couple of bad beats on Monday night. Did you have Baylor laying 8.5 against Kansas, Tim?
Yeah, I unfortunately.
Oh God!
I did. All right, so
sorry to bring it up, dude.
So yesterday, on my guys, I gave out just a terrible money line parlay. I liked Baylor in this spot against Kansas, but it was a ton of points to lay, Brady. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm not thrilled about laying 8.5 points against Bill Self, even though I'm not, you know, not that enamored with this Kansas team. So I'm thinking, okay, let's find a dance partner and we get some decent odds. Hey, how about Louisville? There's some buzz on Louisville. Louisville is coming off a loss, a bounce back spot at home at the Yum Center. This line went from 1.5 to 3.5. All right, we'll throw Louisville in there. We'll get this for about even money, even a little plus money in some spots. Well, Louisville gets boat raced. So I'm in chase mode now. And I'm thinking, you know what? My initial inclination, Brady, was Baylor. I'll lay the 8.5. This game is going as well as I could have imagined. A little back and forth, but Baylor ultimately starting to pull away. I'll be honest, Brady, I put my head down because the score was 77-66. There was 1 second to go. I thought the game was just over, and Kansas hits one of the most back-breaking shots. There we have a screenshot of where it took place from, right from the U.
He's closer to mid-court than he is to the top of the key.
So the best part about this whole video that many of you can see on Twitter is, Brady, there's a gentleman, he's not in the picture, but in the bottom right corner, there's a gentleman who clearly has Baylor laying 8.5, and he throws up his hands. He puts his head in his hands, and that was me on my couch last night. So if you had Kansas, hey, congratulations. I know a lot of people who took the points with Kansas thought it was too many, and this was a chase for me, and that's what I get for chasing.
I thought it was
a bad beat.
I thought Baylor was really the right side, but over in hockey out here on the West Coast, you had the bad beat if you had the Arizona Coyotes and the under. They were up 2-0 on the Vegas Golden Knights late into the second period. Vegas comes back and scores four unanswered goals, not only to double up Arizona with the victory, but also take the game over over the total. And then even a later finish than that out west, you had the Golden State Warriors down by as many as 19 in the first quarter, down by 16 at the half, down by 14 headed into the fourth quarter. They come back at Staples Center and beat the Lakers as 9-point dogs, 115 to 113.
The Warriors now, Brady, this was thanks to ESPN Stats and Info, have had 29 comebacks of at least 15 points or more under Steve Kerr.
Wow.
Only the Raptors have more at 31, and the Lakers' 19-point blown lead is their largest in any game which LeBron James has played. You know, we saw vintage Steph at the end of the game. He didn't have a great game. I think he just went 3 for 12 from 3.
26 points.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of pedestrian
effort,
right?
For him,
yeah.
Right? But that three-pointer where AD switches on the screen, he goes through his legs behind the back to create that separation. I mean, that was vintage Splash Brothers Steph Curry. Just an incredible shot. He missed the little bunny in the lane that would have ended the game at 117-113. But what a remarkable performance by the Warriors. No hot takes on the Lakers. Look, they're the defending champs. They're doing just fine, as you can see, 11-4. They're fine, but a hell of a performance by the Warriors. And it's going to be fascinating to see, Brady, this team as the year goes on. I know JVT has a futures ticket on the Warriors at 100-1 to win it all. Wouldn't go that far, but I think this team, you know, should make the playoffs and could be a tricky out.
Well, they're showing some signs of life. It was just about 9 days ago that they did the same thing to the other L.A. basketball team, the Clippers. They were down by 22 points and came back to win that one up in San Francisco, 115-105. All right, let's talk some NFL championship weekend, Mr. Murray. We've got the Green Bay Packers hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a 12:05 Pacific, 3:05 Eastern start on Sunday. Packers opened up as high as 4.5-point favorites with a total of 51. Now we're seeing some threes creep into the market.
Yeah, three minus 110 both ways. And you can find that at the South Point here in Las Vegas. As you mentioned, there are other threes out there. William Hill showing a three. Circa showing a three. Juice to the Packers. I'll be honest, Brady, I'm a little surprised by this. I think the Packers, right now you look at the quarterback position, and Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be the league's MVP. He's playing at an exceptional level. And look at what the Packers just did to one of the elite defenses in the NFL last week. No turnovers. They rushed. I believe they were averaging about 5.1 yards per carry on the ground. I thought Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones did a terrific job to keep the Rams off balance. And for the most part, Jalen Ramsey didn't let Devontae Adams go crazy. Still had 9 catches for 66 yards. So as exceptional as Tampa was last week defensively, right? 3 interceptions, that big fumble forced against Jared Cook. Are the Packers going to make those types of mistakes this weekend? That's why I lean towards the Packers. And now that it's at 3, I'm going to play the Packers at 3, Brady, because I feel like at that spot at home, the way the Packers are rolling, and the defense to me is really starting to emerge for Green Bay. I really like Green Bay in this spot.
I made the number 4.5, and I, you know, that's where it opened, of course. And I can understand getting a juicy number like that in a playoff game and taking the 4.5. I even understand taking the 3.5, but I'm on the Packers with you, Tim. I mean, you look at Tampa Bay, and I think they played their best game of the entire season last weekend in that win over New Orleans. But every score that they got came off of a turnover. If you cut those turnovers in half by New Orleans, they might win the game rather than Tampa Bay moving on here. So, you know, I don't think that Tampa offense was outstanding. Defensively, they did a great job. Maybe they got a couple gifts, you know, Drew Brees, you know, the arm strength, what have you. But, I mean, that's typically a situation where I like to go against a team the following week. If Tampa didn't get 4 turnovers, do they win that game? Probably not. So I'm kind of on the fade of Tampa Bay here, and maybe the line's moving because, I mean, both of these teams are very public teams. People love to bet the Packers. They also love to bet Tom Brady.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, yeah, to your point, it's a great one. You know, if Jared Cook doesn't fumble, I mean, that really was a massive turning point in that game. And we know, if you just look at all the metrics, Drew Brees can't stretch the field right now. And their longest pass play came on a trick play that Jameis Winston,
great, you know, play, by the way,
fires it down the field, right? It
really
was,
great
it was
play.
It was a really nice play. So you know you're going to, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is playing as well as he's ever played at this point in his career. So, you know, at home, temps in the mid-20s. I really do like Green Bay. I thought about laying that 3.5, and I'm glad I waited because here are the threes. We'll see how this number changes as the week goes on. But if you like Green Bay, I would say pounce right now.
Game two will feature the Buffalo Bills visiting the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs opened up as a 4-point favorite. A lot of threes out there now, and even a handful of 2.5s. Patrick Mahomes' status, of course, remains a little bit uncertain.
Yeah, and with the Chiefs, it's all about, is Patrick Mahomes going to play? We're going to be waiting for an answer all week long. If this is under 3 and Patrick Mahomes is a full go, it's not only the head injury, it's that foot injury too.
Right.
You know, is that going to be healed up enough? But under 3 at home with Patrick Mahomes, Brady, once again, I have to lean towards the favorite in this spot.
Well, if you think Mahomes is going to play, then you better bet it now.
Bet it now, yeah.
Because once he is made official, this probably goes to 3.5 and maybe back to 4. Who knows? But I think the Bills, I think both of these games are real good. I probably like Green Bay to win equally as much as I think the second game between Buffalo and Kansas City is going to be a close one. We're going to talk a little golf next up here. We've got the American Express coming up in La Quinta next week, fresh off of the Kevin Na win on Oahu. It's the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Playoffs and basketball and hockey games every week. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from the Mandalay Bay each and every weekend to bring you the best analysis of the best games. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It is the Lombardi Line. As you can tell, no Michael Lombardi or Patrick Maher today. We'll do our best to fill in for those two gentlemen, Brady Cannon, Tim Murray. And I said, I'm working with Brady tomorrow? Okay. Give me the reins, and I'm just going to tee it up. Tee it up to the co-host of the Right Now Short Shots podcast, but soon to be returning back on the regular VSiN form here on Long Shots with Wes Reynolds. All right, Brady. Kevin Na, 55-1. That had to be a nice little Sunday for you.
Yeah, sitting there flipping between the football game and the Sony Open. As Kevin Na emerged really on Saturday where he shot 61, and I was like, you know what? That's usually not a good sign because they usually come back down to earth. When a guy goes that low, usually doesn't repeat that performance in a follow-up. But Kevin Na shot a 65 on Sunday, and that was good enough by one shot over Chris Kirk. And, you know, I'm kind of kicking myself that I didn't have more money on it. I mean,
That's the way we always do it.
Of course, right? But I have, you know, held true to my line that the golf season really starts for me at Torrey Pines, which will be next week. And leading up to that, I kind of treat it like the preseason in football or what have you. And I just kind of dabble and get my feet wet and got my foot wet with Kevin Na. It worked. And, you know, hopefully it continues with more often from here.
Yeah, not a bad way to start a little 55-1 coming home. All right. This weekend, it is the American Express in La Quinta, California. Just tell us a little bit about this tournament, because I know a lot of casual fans might agree with you. You know, maybe next week is when it really begins. So what's this field look like, and what should we expect this weekend?
It's actually a much better field than it usually is. This is a tournament that I think is kind of typically in a sandwich spot before Torrey Pines, before the West Coast swing really kicks in, and off of the Hawaii swing with Kapalua and the Sony. it used to be the Bob Hope, and for years it was a famous tournament down there in the desert and the Pro-Am. Going to be different this year because of COVID. They will not have the Pro-Am. It's a pretty easy golf course. It's all about hitting the greens in regulation and making a lot of birdies. But actually, the field is pretty good. We're going to have Brooks Koepka make his season debut this year. John Rahm will be here. He's a former champion. You're going to have Patrick Reed, Scotty Scheffler, Abraham Anser, Tony Finau, Matthew Wolf, Russell Henley, and of course, Kevin Na from last week. So actually, the top of the board as far as the betting board and the favorites there is pretty loaded with some decent players, I think better than we've seen in the past.
Now, I know you'll get into it. Short Shots, you record that tonight with Wes, right? So check out that podcast for in-depth on all of these thoughts. But a couple names that jump out to you to follow your 55-1 triumph from a weekend
I'm
ago.
I'm due for a letdown, Tim. like you mentioned, Wes and I will do the Short Shots podcast this evening, and then next week we go into the full-blown version of Long Shots with Torrey Pines, and that's one to look out for, Tim. For any casual golf fans out there, Torrey Pines next week is going to be loaded, because this is down in La Jolla, beautiful La Jolla, California, gorgeous property. Of course, 2008 hosted the U.S. Open when Tiger beat Rocco Mediate, Tiger's last major win until he went ahead and won the Masters. But Torrey Pines is going to host the U.S. Open again this year.
Oh, wow.
So you're going to have guys coming in that don't normally play this event to get a little taste of what this might be like in June, right? So I think you're going to have a loaded field at Torrey Pines. As far as this week, I'm not going to really look too closely at the top of the board there. I'm going to probably go deeper down, and that's where usually you see guys win here. A couple years ago, Phil Mickelson was ready to win this thing, and all of a sudden a guy named Adam Long came out of nowhere. He's like 500-1.
Wow.
And won this thing, and we've had some guys win this tournament in the past. Hudson Swafford, I think, was in the neighborhood of 100-1. So some big triple-digit figures have gotten to the winner's circle here at the Bob Hope, and I'll probably look a little bit deeper down the board. Matthew Wolf is interesting to me. I might take a hard look at him. Abraham Anser as well, as far as some of the shorter shots, but I'm not going to be looking real high at Cantlay and Reed and that type of thing.
Well, more in-depth breakdown, no doubt about it, on the podcast tonight, Short Shots, and then like Brady mentioned, back on the VSiN platform, Long Shots, great golf show, Wes Reynolds, Brady Cannon, each and every Tuesday. All right, let's get into some college basketball. A terrible beat, but the team that won that game, are they one to look at for the national championship? We'll discuss that next. It's the Lombardi Line, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
$22 hoping that meaningless free throw rims out, or begging for two goals and extra time to hit that miracle four-team parlay, we have a suggestion. Take that $22 and invest it in your sports betting success. Become a VSiN All-Access member today and get our expert VSiN betting analysis for less than that $22 per month. Daily emails, 24/7 video access, point spread weekly, and betting 101 strategy guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Place a bet on yourself right now. Start your free trial today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Brady Cannon and Tim Murray with you inside the Lombardi Line, filling in for Patrick Maher and Michael Lombardi. Talking some college hoops, the Baylor Bears, Tim, they remain undefeated with an impressive victory over conference rival Kansas on Monday night. 77-69 the final, and that's where the rub is. The meaningless three-point bank shot by the Jayhawks. I'm sorry to remind you, but pretty tough beat if you had Baylor there and laying the points. Like I told you earlier in the program, I thought Baylor was the right side. Now, the question is, can they win it all? Are they better than Gonzaga? We know both of these teams are real powerhouses. Baylor is at 7-1 to cut down the nets in March, and I've seen even a little higher than that, as much as 10-1 on the Baylor Bears.
Yeah, this Baylor team, if last night was your first time watching this team, you recognized how good this team is on both ends of the floor. If you look at the metrics, Brady, they're number one in defensive efficiency, number four in offensive efficiency, and Jared Butler very well could be your national player of the year. I think Luka Garza obviously would have like to have a say about that. From Iowa, he's been tremendous, but you know, Jared Butler was making big shot after big shot. Didn't really play all that well over the weekend against Texas Tech, but hit some big shots at the end as they pulled away from the Red Raiders in Lubbock. Jared Butler was out of his mind last night, going 7 of 9 from three. They've got guys, you know, all over the place. Maceo Teague is one that you can rely on. But you know, at this point, and we have the odds up from BetMGM. Obviously, we always say this on the network: shop around.
Yeah.
Yesterday,
there's some big discrepancies there.
Very big, because I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I was walking out of the Circa, and I had in my mind I wanted to play this team yesterday because they're back on the floor tonight. That's mm-hmm. Villanova. Villanova's yep. been a team that I was very high on, probably a little too high on. I had them in our preseason betting guide as number one, Gonzaga two. I was incorrect. Gonzaga is the best team in the country, and I think Baylor is the second best team. But we haven't seen Villanova in now a month. Now, tonight's a tricky spot, and we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. But I think if you can find Villanova at a spot like 16-1, mm-hmm. I think that's an intriguing play to make just because it's kind of been an out-of-sight, out-of-mind situation, right?
There you go. That's a great point.
I mean, they haven't played since December 23rd. They have a head-scratching loss that happened, you know, early on in the year to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech certainly maybe better than we anticipated. But this is a veteran squad, and they're getting Brian Antoine back. Brian Antoine had a shoulder injury. He might play tonight. Jay Wright said he has been practicing. So if you look around and you can find some juicier odds, I think Villanova is an intriguing one, and I'm a little bit bullish on this team, but UVA is starting to get on a roll here,
mm-hmm.
and what they did over the weekend should not be sneezed at. You know, they went into Clemson. Clemson, Brady, entering this weekend, was number one in the country in defensive efficiency. Virginia put up 85 points on them. They dropped from number one to number seven, Clemson did, in those metrics because of the Virginia game. They're starting to figure it out offensively, and we always know that this team is going to be very, very solid when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. I think there's some 30-1s out there on Virginia, so that's another team. I was a bit bullish on preseason. Had that really ugly loss to Gonzaga where they were just really non-competitive, and the loss to San Francisco. Feels like this UVA team's starting to get rolling, and the ACC's down. Now, Florida State played extremely well last night, but I feel like UVA, if they continue to win and only have one or two hiccups, they're going to be on a very nice seed line heading into March.
Leonard Hamilton and the Florida State Seminoles is always a college basketball team I like to look mm-hmm. at every year. Had a futures ticket on them last year before the season got canceled. They are at 50-1, I've seen. I've seen Villanova as high as 18-1. Let's take a look at a couple of long shots here. I was talking to you last night about Colorado. Very senior-laden team, a lot of experience for Tad Boyle. They're as high as 150-1. Now, not that they're going to go win this thing, Tim, but I think ideally, and I think this is true for a lot of futures that you play in any sport, you just kind of want to get to the dance and have a position where you might be able to hedge.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And if you can get through those first two games and get to the Sweet 16, you're just in a terrific spot. So, you know, I know Matt Humans was able to grab Michigan at 30-1. Now you're looking at BetMGM sitting there at 9-1. You know, Michigan is a team prior to their hiccup this weekend against Minnesota. They looked as strong as any team in the country, maybe a real, you know, number three or four best team in the country. So, yeah, it is. There's been a couple teams that have started to rise here, and that's where now I feel like, Brady, it's you're trying to find those teams that you feel like, okay, are now going to hit their stride and might make a run. So, yeah, Michigan, I feel like the value's gone on them. You know, a lot of these Big Ten teams, Brady, you know, Iowa's of the world, the way that they continue to play, I mean, over the weekend against Northwestern, just absolutely hammering the Purple Cats. So these Big Ten teams, there's a lot of value that has been sucked out because they've been in front of our faces quite a bit. It's a top-loaded conference. So, you know, maybe looking down the board a little bit to, you know, the ACC. You know, Florida State's intriguing to me, too, because, once again, yeah. I think, Brady, when you look at a conference like the ACC, Duke's down, UNC's down. You know, the best teams are UVA. Louisville gets hammered last night by Florida State. Can Florida State make a run to the second weekend if they land on a? I mean, if they.
How about Virginia Tech? You know, I mean, are they worth a long shot too?
Well, and I think the thing about that is, if they, let's say, win the conference tournament, you're probably going to be sitting on a 3 or 4 line. So you're going to be, in all likelihood, a favorite in your first two games. And then, like you hit on with a Colorado long shot, can they make it to the second weekend? And then you're in a great spot to hedge off.
By the way, the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the early game this Sunday, the consensus number now 3 in favor of the Packers. The Westgate has gone to 3. Caesars, MGM, William Hill, still some 3.5s out there at Wynn, the Golden Nugget, and Station Casinos, but the majority number is 3 in favor of the Packers, so some money coming in on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How about one more for you, Tim? We've talked about Villanova and Michigan both playing tonight. Here's another team that will be in action tonight that has been on an absolute roll. Alabama, 65-1 to win it all.
I think that's if you can get it at 65-1, I think that's worthy of a play, because it's them and Tennessee who's going to win the SEC right now. And
another team that's in action
and
tonight.
And they've already beaten Tennessee. And there were a lot of people that were high on Alabama preseason. Early on, didn't look so great. And now Crimson Tide are getting it rolling.
We're going to look at all those matchups. A lot of ranked teams in action on the college hardwood this evening. Stick with us. It's the Lombardi Line. Brady and Tim here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With BetMGM and get your first deposit matched up to $250 with the bonus code VSiN250. Discover BetMGM's parlay selection features, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app today to get this exclusive offer for VSiN listeners with the bonus code VSiN250, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia only. Gamble responsibly, please. Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. That's 800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back inside the Lombardi Line. Brady Cannon and Tim Murray filling in for Patrick Maher and Michael Lombardi. And let's get to the Tuesday night card for college hoops, Mr. Murray. A lot of ranked teams in action. We'll start in the Big Ten. Ohio State will be taking on Purdue. This one in Columbus, a 3:30 Pacific start, 6:30 Eastern. Both teams 5-3 in conference and riding 3-game winning streaks. Ohio State laying the points here, -5 with a total of 136.
Yeah, we've started to see this game creep up a little bit. You'll hear us reference different analytical sites just as a reference point. I know Steve Mackinnon for VSiN does a terrific job. Ken Palm is someone we look at. They have this as a 4-point game. EJ Liddell really played exceptional over the weekend for Ohio State. And Travion Williams, the big man for Purdue, had a big game this past weekend. So, you know, this isn't really a strong play one way or the other here on this game here, Brady. But you look at the way Ohio State, you know, over the weekend going to Illinois and winning that game 87-81, and their stretch really has been impressive since that loss to Minnesota right at the start of the new year. Rutgers, 11-point win on the road, going to the rack and winning that game. Home win against Northwestern. Obviously, we've seen Northwestern drop off pretty considerably from their surprising start to the year, which included a win over Ohio State, and then the really impressive win over Illinois. So I'm curious to see Ohio State. I think you and I are very of similar mindsets. I mean, I don't love laying, you know, points all that often, but this is a spot, if I had to play it, I'd probably look towards Ohio State in this spot. They really have been playing really well these past couple weeks.
Well, talk about laying the points. You and I were a little surprised to see this line. Michigan laying 10.5. We'll stick in the Big Ten here. Michigan at Chrysler Arena taking on the Maryland Terrapins. 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. start. Of course, the Wolverines suffered their first loss over the weekend, falling to Minnesota. Can they bounce back here? 10.5-point favorites with a total of 140.5.
Yeah, and these two teams have already played. They played on New Year's Eve in Maryland, and Michigan won that game, pulling away in the second half. You know, I saw something pointed out on Twitter, it's Michigan's quick starts at home. So if you don't want to lay the 10.5, maybe you look at something in the first half. You look at their last four home games against Wisconsin, Minnesota, Northwestern, and Penn State, led by 14, 9, 17, and 6. At the half. One thing about Maryland here, who is really tricky to figure out, Brady, because they've got road wins against Wisconsin and Illinois. They got hammered at home against Iowa recently. Eric Ayala, their point guard, is expected to return. So that's a big addition back to the Maryland lineup here. Michigan coming off that loss, I think a lot of people, Brady, are going to expect this to be a bounce-back spot for the Wolverines. I feel like Maryland has just been so Jekyll and Hyde. That's why I'm staying away from it, but I don't know. The Maryland plus the 10.5 is intriguing, and maybe wait, this number might go up.
Tennessee and Florida, let's switch over to the SEC. This is a 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. The Volunteers have won three straight, but not over tremendous competition, Tim. Florida, meanwhile, has lost three of its last four. Tennessee laying 7 in Gainesville with a total of 136.
Yeah, and this is one where if you subscribe to the analytics and the models, then you would play Florida plus the points here. They are a 3-point dog per the likes of KenPom. So just keep that in mind. I look at Florida right now, Brady, as kind of really starting to lose some steam here. In their last five games, they're just 1-4 against the spread. Their lone cover came against, I believe, Mississippi. Losing over the weekend to Mississippi State, had that just got destroyed by Kentucky. Had some people, including yours truly, believing, okay, maybe Kentucky's found its footing. Maybe not so much. Maybe Florida's more of the issue here.
They can't score.
And that's the thing.
And Tennessee plays great defense,
well,
right?
That's a great point you bring up. Tennessee, second in the country in defensive efficiency. Florida struggles. I mean, remember the scary moment where Keontae Johnson goes down.
Yeah.
I mean, since that, this Florida team really has been very different. So it's a road team laying a big number. But, Tennessee also has to keep pace with Alabama. And Alabama, as we'll get to here shortly, they got a big game on the road tonight in Baton Rouge against LSU. I think Tennessee, I would expect them to keep things rolling here. It's a lot of points to lay. And once again, there is a discrepancy in the models and as the point spread you see there. But I would look towards Tennessee a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. And let's stick in the SEC. South Carolina at Missouri. Another 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Gamecocks head coach Frank Martin will be back on the sidelines for this game after clearing the COVID protocol. Missouri laying 5.5 here with a total of 144.
Yeah, the second time Frank Martin had to deal with COVID. He got it, I think, back in the spring. So good to see that he's back and he'll be back on the sidelines. I would look towards South Carolina grabbing the points here against Missouri. Missouri is another strong defensive team, top 20 in defensive efficiency. Had a nice win over the weekend against Texas A&M. I think this could be a spot where, South Carolina maybe rallies around their coach and having him back. They haven't played a ton of games this year because of just COVID issues. Their last time out lost a 5-point game at LSU. So, yeah, I would look towards maybe grabbing the points with South Carolina.
I'm with you again. I think it's a real shot in the arm to have their leader back on the sidelines in Frank Martin, a good coach. Big East basketball, Mr. Murray, this is a future ticket you have on the Villanova Wildcats. They will be at home. And like you said, they haven't played in a month. They're hosting the Seton Hall Pirates, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Pirates have won 4 out of 5. Villanova, they've been off for a while, but they had won 6 straight coming in prior to that. They're laying 9 here with a total of 139.5.
Yeah, this is a Seton Hall team, or sorry, a Villanova team that I mentioned earlier. I love this Villanova team and didn't buy early future and then bought one yesterday. So I think this Villanova team legitimately has a chance to win a national championship. This feels like a lot of points coming off of a 27-day rest. And we know, because Jay Wright alluded to it, you know, two of their better players had COVID. It was Caleb Daniels and Jermaine Samuels. Now, everyone is expected to be back, but you just have to worry, where are their legs at, Brady, when you're walking into a game against Seton Hall? And Seton Hall, look, they haven't played in 10 days, so it's been a bit of a break there too. But I'm a big fan of Kevin Willard. You know this is going to be a game that means a ton to them. 9 points when you haven't played in a month. I'm grabbing the points with Seton Hall here. I'll take the plus 9. This has really turned out to be a really nice rivalry in the Big East. Last year, great games. So I'll take the points with Seton Hall. And I think this is going to move towards Seton Hall as we get closer to tip.
The Pirates have been beaten up by a couple of good teams, but otherwise played very good basketball so far this season. And another big one in the LSU, SEC, you alluded to it earlier, Alabama at LSU, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. LSU 5-1 in conference, and they've won 4 in a row. Alabama has won 7 straight, a flip of favorites here. LSU opened as a 1.5-point favorite. Now the Crimson Tide, a 1.5-point favorite, and a big total here, 164.5.
Well, think about, and I mentioned it earlier, how there were a lot of people very high. Blue Ribbon, which is kind of the Bible to us, right?
Yeah.
The preseason magazine out there was very high on Alabama, and they opened up with a loss to Stanford. They lose to Clemson. We didn't know how good Clemson was at that point in time, and then the loss to Western Kentucky. Since that loss to the Hilltoppers back in late December, they have been red hot, as you alluded to. They've now won 7 straight. And just look at how they're taking care of business. Now, they had a close game against Auburn, but an 18-point win over Mississippi, 8-point win against Tennessee on the road, 15-point win over Florida, 20-point win over Kentucky. That was a spot where I backed Kentucky and couldn't have been more wrong. So, yeah, I'm not surprised at the flip of favorites. And I think if you're looking at Alabama, this might be a spot. I don't know if I'll play it personally, but if you're looking at it, it'd be hard for me not to continue to ride the hot hand of Alabama because they are playing so well, and they do it on both ends. You know, top 25 in offensive efficiency, top 20 in defensive efficiency. I really liked what I've seen from this Alabama team. To your point about the total, Alabama loves to run, top 15 in tempo.
The only thing about this game is I think the nation is starting to take notice about Alabama.
100%.
And we saw that line move. If you could have had them at an underdog, great. But now you're probably having to buy Alabama at the peak, right? So maybe...
It's kind of like what we saw with Michigan. And Michigan continued to cover that number. And then this weekend, they fall to Minnesota. But I think there's still that Michigan tax. That's why you're seeing it at 10.5 tonight against Maryland. And I think you make a great point that now people are starting to look at Alabama, the way that they've been rolling in SEC play, and say, wait, they're a dog? No. We're going to bet them.
All right. How about Penn State and Illinois? You talked about Maryland being inconsistent. Illinois has gotten that way too. 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern here. The Nittany Lions, 0-4 in conference, and Illinois has dropped 2 in a row, yet they're laying 9.5, 10 points here with a total of 152.5.
Yeah, I think is it going to be a bounce back spot for Illinois? I'm staying away because I mentioned Maryland, as you mentioned there, being Jekyll and Hyde. You know, DeSumo's playing at a MVP, you know, level, but where's the consistency going to be? That loss this weekend to Ohio State, the loss at home to Maryland. I would look towards Illinois, but man, it's hard to back them and lay that many points when they just have been so hit or miss this year.
That's going to do it for the Lombardi Line. Thanks to Tim Murray. Thanks to Karina Howe. I am Brady Cannon. Next up, it is our VSiN senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel on the Edge. We'll be right back on the Sports Betting Network.